chapter 6. When we talk of chapter 6, we are going to be discussing essential email etiquette for professionals. When we talk of email, what is the focus on? It is a method of exchanging digital communication via internet. When I say it is a method of exchanging digital communication via internet, that means for email to be sent or received, we need internet connectivity. An email can make or break an opportunity for you. So send and respond to them accordingly, or send and respond to them wisely. Definitely, the way you communicate information via an email, it is written communication. The person, the receiver, can neither see you nor see your body language nor get any cues from you. Cues, C-U-E-S. So the entire focus is on how you worded it. What is the information all about? An email that is written well can definitely enhance your image. It can definitely lead to better output and productivity. Because when written communication is apt, APT, when written communication is apt, then there will be no doubt in the mind of the receiver to understand what is communicated. So then the purpose will be served. The following concepts will be covered in this topic. First is meaning of email etiquette. Next is the important workplace email etiquette, essential email etiquette, email do's and don'ts. Email remains one of the most popular means of communication, especially when the world has now moved to a hybrid workplace, which has increased the business world's reliance on emails. So definitely, email transcends time zones. Email keeps us connected. But definitely post-COVID, things have changed and there has been more reliance by making use of these platforms. We always have been using these platforms, if we talk of email, for example. But the dependency has been increasing over a period of time. Email communication or electronic mail is a communication method of sending and receiving messages using electronic devices. Email is one of the most popular methods of digital communication. Organizations can send emails to market their products. Email is instantaneous. It is an inexpensive option and reduces the need for paper. When I talk of email, I first need to understand that what is its prime usage. Whatever information I want to put forward, that is done. It serves as a record. It ideally is considered to be accountable. You can send links, images via email. Attachments can be sent to. Somewhere when we talk of email, it ideally helps in integration, collaboration, because your communication gets easier. For email, the person does not have to be present. So what happens is, once you send an email, within 24 hours you get a response. But the way information is written in an email, structured logical information has to be put forward. Information that is easy to understand. Information should not have lengthy and complicated sentences. And definitely, it serves to be an inexpensive option, because you're making use of this platform every day, and at the same time, all you need is an internet connection. So your purpose is served. As far as the corporate world is concerned, it definitely makes a difference, because you have a platform where you can express what you want to put forward, and you can write it in easy and simple manner. so that the reader can respond. Sometimes a reader may not respond immediately. That is when probably the reader needs time to really think over as to what is asked in the email. Probably it can be that the reader is a bit confused with what you've sent via email. So it depends on other factors too. Taking the next slide. Email enables us to share ideas, discuss important topics, and even resolve conflicts. Thus, email is widely used communication medium and is used in all fields such as business, education, entertainment, and many other fields all over the world. We told you some time back that email transcends time zones. But another important aspect for email is that we ideally need to be to the point. Written communication has to be to the point. See, when it's verbal communication, the communication can digress. We can go in various directions. We can discuss a few aspects which may be necessary, which may not be necessary. We may discuss a few aspects which are required or which are not required. But when it comes to written communication, you have to be very specific. The information has to be specific, relevant, and the information has to serve the purpose. Just the way when I talk of subject for an email, the subject cannot be vague. Subject has to be very clear. For example, in the subject, if I write performance appraisal, so you will understand the email is all about performance appraisal. Or in the subject, I write, please attend the meeting. That means you're aware that the email is giving you information about the meeting that you need to attend, the timing, the agenda, and other details. So what is it? What is the focus on? That it is very specific and to the point. Email etiquette. Etiquette in simple words means manners. Now, when we talk of email etiquette, what do we mean by this? Email etiquette for professionals. So, email etiquette is a set of guidelines. What guidelines are we talking of? What important role do the guidelines play when we talk of email etiquette? So, it is extremely important in terms of the way you word the information. It has to be formal, and at the same time there has to be a specific purpose. Also, when we talk of email etiquette, as mentioned here, it refers to the rules governing the proper conduct to the way an email should be written. It conveys communication in a professional manner with a professional tone. It involves tone and appropriate language and courtesy. So it is very important that you show respect. Another very important point for email, when we talk of email etiquette, even a letter of complaint can be written without making use of negations. When I say even a letter of complaint can be written without making the use of negations, what does it mean? That you avoid using words like can't, cannot, won't, will not. So again, it depends on you, how you structure the sentences. It depends on you, how you are wording it. But when we talk of guidelines, what kind of guidelines are we focusing on for any email? Your tone needs to be professional. You cannot have a casual tone even while you're writing. As I told you some time back, that the person cannot see you. So anyways, facial expressions, gestures, posture, body language is not taken into consideration. But the person can understand you through the way you have written that email. So then what happens in this kind of a situation? You are talking of the basic guidelines, which is about seeing to it that it is written professionally. At the same time, the information is not repetitive. And whenever we talk of an email, it is introduction, body, conclusion, where you talk of the paragraphs. Information has to be in a coherent manner. That means in a logical manner. If these aspects are looked into, then a lot of, you know, what you communicate will be understandable to the receiver. And if an email is written well, then when the receiver responds, that is feedback for you. The receiver will respond based on his or her understanding. So it is all about how you are expressing the information. So a lot depends on you when you are the sender. Just the way the receiver will receive the information and put forward the information based on what you've sent. So it is a lot about you as an individual in terms of your communication. But extremely important to show that you're courteous. See, just the way when you speak, even if you're bugged or irritated, you don't need to get angry. But your facial expressions, your tone will say it. You don't need to get angry, but the tone will definitely say it. In that same manner for written communication. A simple example, if in the last paragraph I write, we request that you finalize the deal before the 28th of July, or we consider that the deal will not be on. So when I'm saying we request that you finalize the deal before the 28th of July, or we consider that the deal will not be on, that means if I don't get a reply from you by 20th, then we assume that the deal is not on. So again, a way of putting it forward. It's clear cut. It's expressed appropriately. Then it is up to you how you respond. Email etiquette continued. Your first contact with a professional new customer, a new employer, will create a positive impression with an email worded well and in a courteous manner. So, say when you talk of an email, you are putting forward an email to your teammates, you're talking of your prospective customers or consumers. So, again, the way it is written, it will bring about that kind of, focus on the fact that you have been able to express and word it in an empathetic manner. When I talk of empathetic manner, a manner whereby you are able to put yourself in the other person's shoes. So it is a skill to write an email appropriately because it can be used on a lot of fronts. So it requires that skill. What skill are we talking of? The written communication skill. What skill are we talking of? That you use words which will have an impact to persuade or inform the consumers. At times you write an email just to clarify your doubts. So what is the purpose of that email? That is what needs to be looked into. The subject line should be easy, direct, and clear to understand. So we just said some time back that it should not be vague, it should not be unclear. It has to be to the point. Also, when we talk of subject line, it has to be minimum words. You don't need to write it lengthy. It has to be minimum words when we talk of subject. Because what happens is that once the reader knows what the subject is all about, it can kind of be easy to assume what is the email related to. Right? So I just told you sometime back, kindly attend the meeting or please attend the meeting. That means you're aware that there is a meeting. Then you need to go through the email to get the other details. Emails that are to the point and more effective. Such emails pay attention to details such as proofreading and grammatical errors. Why is proofreading done? What is proofreading? Proofreading, you focus on grammar, punctuations. You see to it that it is written correctly. whatever is written, but it's written correctly. That means somewhere, are you able to express information in that particular language in a correct manner? Proofreading is necessary because any mistakes made will not reflect well on you. A simple example, you have your resume and you've sent your resume, but even one grammatical error on your resume, it'll not reflect well on you. One spelling mistake, it'll not reflect well on you. So proofreading is a very necessary aspect. And proofreading should be done because finally, when I have to send an email, I would prefer reading it twice because I know that what I've sent is perfect. So it is absolutely required and justified. Never ever send an email without proofreading. Never ever do that. You know, it's all about you in the sense that it reflects on you. It makes the opposite person feel, oh, did she or he not go through this? It's possible. The opposite person can think that. The opposite person can also feel that, how could you do this? That kind of a thought can come up. You know, just a passing thought. But how could he just send this? Yeah, look at this. Right? So, proofreading is necessary. Very often, a follow-up mail is necessary. When I talk of follow-up mail, what is the focus on? Why do we need to follow up, first and foremost? So you give a hint that, you know, hint about what? The previous interaction, right? You ideally feel that the person has not really understood what you've sent. So you give a hint about the previous interaction, or you assume that the person might be very busy, so the person has not responded. You re-engage that person in the conversation that took place last. You get the person back to that conversation and you want to move towards the goal. So follow-up is very necessary. You know, sometimes don't you say, we last spoke about 10 days back and that time it was communicated via email that they are thinking over whether they want to finalize a deal or not. But thereafter, there's been no communication. So, it's been 10 days. Do you feel you can get in touch with them and follow up? Do you feel that you can, you know, give them a hint, right? Sometimes you might feel that, have I, you know, kind of communicated with them far too much, which is why they've kept a distance. So, your mind can assume a lot of aspects when you talk of follow up. But it is really up to you how you follow up. So you can re-engage the person. You can get back to the conversation where you stopped last. But you have to do it very tactfully and skillfully. Right? That skill is required. A follow-up email will be direct and will have a professional tone. Definitely, any email has to be direct. Any email has to have a professional tone. But what is the focus on? That somewhere you need to be able to relate to the person in terms of what you've communicated so far. That is what is important. So as we said, important workplace email etiquette. See, communication is the foundation of any organization. When I talk of communication being the foundation of any organization, it helps discuss strategies. So whatever is discussed, when it has to be worded, what are the aspects I have to look into? Now, not necessary every time things are discussed. Very often, I've just been told that, okay, write this email, please send it. So then I structure my thoughts. First, I gather my thoughts, I structure my thoughts, I write it in a simple, easy to understand manner, and then decide whether I need to make any changes. Subject line, we've discussed before that it should be to the point. The next one, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. This is very, very crucial. Just the way you walk in for an interview, the first 30 seconds will define whether you are comfortable making eye contact. Say you walk in, can you make eye contact? That same way, you do not get a chance to make that impression which you've had the first time. You do not get a second chance to it. So please see to it that you have the writing skills. If you feel you do not have the writing skills, you can take help, maybe through technology, or you can take help from somebody else. But you need to see to it that you have to put in all your effort to word it correctly. When we talk of signature, it is like a block of text. When we talk of email signature, so it includes your name, title, company name, and contact information. So name, for example, Rebecca Thomas. Below that, Director, Myers Consulting Group. I'm just giving any random name, Myers, M-Y-E-R-S, just for example, right? So your name, you're the director, your title, your company name, and then you give your contact information. So these aspects you have to understand and know by default. And these aspects have to be given a lot of attention. Like if I talk of subject, if I talk of salutation, the second bullet point, when we say, dear sir, dear ma'am, salutation, how ideally are you addressing the person? Right? So you have to understand that you need to be courteous. So it is better to write, dear sir, dear ma'am, or you write, respected sir, respected ma'am. Use a professional email address if you're representing a particular company. When I say professional email address, so somebody had sent an email. So Mr. A sent an email to Mr. B, but Mr. A, his email address was dude@the rate. Now this, and then of course, whether you talk of Gmail or whatever. Now this kind of an email address, it does not reflect well on you. It reflects very poorly on you. This kind of an email address is not going to show that you're a professional. In fact, it can really sound and look unprofessional. So you've got to understand that you have a presentable email address. And again, that is a choice you make. Why? Because they're saying that's the focus is more on credibility when you use a professional email address. It's all about your image, right? When we talk of email communication, it enhances productivity, fosters collaboration, brings about more communication, which could lead to an output in terms of business. So you have to look into all these aspects. Make sure the font type is Arial or Times New Roman with 12-point font size, and the default color is black. This is a standard format. No changes out here. Your writing tone and style should be professional, and words such as please and thank you are always appreciated. So I guess we've discussed this before. It's basically about you being courteous. But at the same time, each person has a unique way of writing. So what we always suggest is that if you speak well, you should be able to write well. And the same way, if you write well, you should be able to speak well. The only difference is that when I'm writing an email, if I have too many thoughts, if there's information overload, then my thoughts may not go in that structured manner. So there I need to explain to myself that what exactly should I write. So when I have sentences coming to my mind, I need to separate what is it that I can put forward, what is it that I don't need to put forward. I need to separate the two, because there are a lot of things I don't need to say. Say in a sense, don't need to write. And there are a lot of things which I should write and should put forward through written communication so that my agenda is clear as to why I've sent you this email. So it goes in both the directions. Both the directions that, okay, this is required, this is not required. I need to use my judgment. I need to analyze. I need to understand whom am I writing this to? It is very important for you to continuously remind yourself, who is the concerned person whom I'm sending this to? Because if you're sending an email to a person who's very senior, person at top management, you have to be extremely careful. Now, that does not mean that if you're sending an email to your colleague, you don't have to be careful. But what we're trying to say is when you send an email to a person at top management, you need to understand what should be put and what should not be put. That's what it is. There are chances that the writing tone can be easy to misunderstand because the voice is not perceived. See, we just told you sometime back, there's no communication per se, right? The communication through tone, through facial expressions, through voice, that's what we are saying, correct? So if the communication is all about the words put forward in a written manner, then there are very high chances of information being misunderstood. And if information is misunderstood, then the whole purpose of you writing that email will not really be there. In the sense, your email will serve no purpose. So, you have to constantly remind yourself that this is what the email is about. You have to constantly remind yourself what is the subject. You have to constantly remind yourself that, can I make changes here? Or is it serving the purpose? You have to constantly remind yourself that, is the opposite person going to understand, or am I conveniently writing it just because I want to write all this? That's what needs to be looked into. Keeping things private, which means that email is not really a suitable method for discussing confidential information. Research says that confidential information is best discussed face to face. But if there seems to be no choice and both the people are not, you know, able to come face to face due to the commitments, work commitments or other commitments, then you may send an email. But confidential information, we yet suggest that you try and find, take out some time, you know, agree that you talk at this hour, especially if there are differences in time zones, and then you express it. If there is just no choice, then you can put it forward in writing. But be very careful, no negative talk when you talk of something that is confidential in written communication. We've told you before, email serves as a record. It serves as proof. So anyways, we do not write anything negative about anybody because that email can be forwarded. So all this, you need to be alert and aware of. And then write what you really feel will sound appropriate. So, say if you're working for a project and your team members are not cooperating, instead of naming that Mr. Johnson just does not cooperate, when you send it in written communication, how will you say it? You will say that, of lately, there seems to be a lot of, disturbances in the team. People are not really cooperating. And because of this, work is actually suffering. So, I'm writing this. It may sound negative, but I'm not picking up on people. I'm not putting forward their names. Then when you have to communicate, that is the time you can express in detail.